morning, church. How are we all doing this morning? Good, good. It is good to be with you so much. My name is Ryan Clement, as Juno mentioned, and I'm the student ministry director here at New Life, getting to work with our middle school and high school students. And Juno, I really appreciate your prayer for me and just your affirmations in there. I've been here about 6.5 years, and if you don't know much about the statistics, youth pastors usually last around 18 months in a church. That's the national average. And it has one of the highest turnover rates in church culture and community and staff. And so to be here for that long and to still like you guys and for you to still like me, that's a good thing. That's a good thing, right? Yeah. So, you know, I wake up every morning to, I'm a survivor, right? And I just get pumped up. But no, really, I'm so blessed. I truly am. They say that if you love the work that you're doing, you'll never work a day in your life. And while I do think that I work hard, I really enjoy what I do, and I love to get to work with our students. It's such a blessing. You know, for the first few years, there was a lot of building going on, but over the last few, I've loved seeing our students really transform, to really come from a life of not knowing who God is to really experiencing God. And I've seen so many students become aware that Jesus is their Savior, to accept Him, to receive Him. We've baptized many, many students, and I've seen a lot of students go from hopelessness and helplessness and depression to joy and fulfillment and finding God and finding community and finding the love that God has for them. And it has just been such a joy to get to work with our students. One of the things that I've learned throughout my time is that the emotional maturity of a student has a direct correlation to their ability to grow spiritually. Now, what I mean by that is if a student walks in and they're already fairly mature in how they look at life and how they look at their situations, and they're ready to embrace God, they're going to grow dramatically. But if a student comes in and they have a lot of challenges, they have a lot of emotional issues, they have a lot of difficulties in their life that are hard for them to overcome, then that spiritual growth is going to be a little more challenging. And in a lot of ways, that's what this series that we've been going through, The Emotionally Healthy Church, is addressing. That we cannot grow to be spiritually mature Christians if we are not emotionally mature. So this doesn't apply just to my students, but it applies to all of us. When I look at Christianity throughout America and all of the people that I have met or talked with or posts that I've seen, it's evident to me that Christians are pretty good at knowing the right morality, what's wrong and what's right. We're pretty good at knowing Bible answers, right, and how to sort of say Jesus as the answer to 85% of the church questions, but also to answer maybe Bible study or Bible verse questions, things like that. We're also good at church attendance for the most part. We're showing up here fairly regularly on Sundays, and we're pretty good at those things. But what we seem to be a little weak on is our emotional maturity, and that's why we're going through this series. And my theory is that it's easy to know the right answers, but to be emotionally and spiritually mature really takes transformation. And we really have to make changes. And that's really the hard work of the gospel, is changing ourselves, right? It's a little easier to go somewhere and to learn how to talk the talk. It's a little more difficult to learn how to walk the walk. And so for that reason, I'm so glad that we're going through this series. For me, it's been personally challenging and encouraging and all different things. But I think it's been really good. If you didn't know, we're going through this series as a staff team separately. Every Tuesday, we sit around for an hour and we discuss all that we've read in the chapters, and we're really wrestling through these topics right alongside you. And that's been a really awesome, awesome time. Now, in order to be a spiritually mature church, it's important that we grow in our emotional maturity. Now, I realize that we're all in different places this morning. Some of us are responding to this series in very different ways. And here's a few things I thought. For some of us, this is really new. And we're coming at this as like, wow, I've never even thought about looking at my past, my genogram. We talked about that a few weeks ago. I've never really understood how my past has affected who I am today. Or maybe last week's brokenness and vulnerability. Like, I don't know about you, but there's not many places in this world that teach you to walk in brokenness and vulnerability. that seems so counterintuitive and so different than the way the world lives and acts, that says present your strongest and your best self. But then you come to church and it's like, no, be your weakest self. That just seems challenging and different. So maybe you're excited. Maybe you've been experiencing this series as like, wow, my eyes are being opened, I'm being enlightened. Or maybe this is overwhelming to go like, hey, all this emotional stuff like is a little too much for me. And I'm still back on 2 weeks ago engaging with my past. I'm not even ready for a new topic this week. And maybe it's just kind of been overwhelming. Or maybe for some of us, we're feeling kind of hardened at heart, saying, you know, I'm actually doing pretty good in all these things, and I don't really need to change that much. And we kind of have a hard time really being open to engaging. So wherever we're at this morning, I just want to pray over us that God would give us a refreshing message this morning, that God would help us to hear what he has to say to each and every one of us this morning, and that we could truly and honestly and humbly receive whatever God would have for us this morning. So church, would you bow your heads with me? Would you close your eyes and just hold out your hands as I pray over us? Father God, we are, number one, so grateful that you are good, that you are God, that you are in control, that you love us, that you care about us, God, and that you choose to need us in your work of making all things new. God, wherever we are all at this morning, help us to come before you humbly in worship, saying, would you speak to us, Lord? Open our hearts and our minds, open our ears to hear and see and receive whatever you have in us, because it's not about our way, but it's about your way. And it's not about our life, but it's about your life, Lord. So would you have your way in us this morning? Would you highlight, Holy Spirit, the things we need to hear and we need to see so that you may be made famous in all that we say and all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I got my license around age 16, early 17, and I was driving in high school. And I had this minivan that I drove, and it was pretty awesome. And I took out the middle seat, you know, so I had like all the space, and I put a sound system in there. And it was this green Plymouth minivan. And for some reason, in the first, like, no, after I'd been driving for a year, I just hit this funky stage where I got 5 tickets in 3 months. And that was the response of all the people in traffic school. They were just like, what? Me and the teacher became pretty close. I was there pretty regularly. And, you know what? Okay, here's the embarrassing thing. I was pulled over on my way to court to fight a previous ticket. I got lost. I took the wrong street. I was stressed. Apparently, I ran a stop that I never saw. And no joke, the cop rolled up and was like, do you know what's going on? And I was just like, I just cried. Like, I'm be honest, like, I just started bawling. I wasn't trying to fake it. I just, praise the Lord, he never turned that ticket in. Oh, I'm so glad. To this day, I have a clean record, by the way. But anyways, I was driving up to San Luis Obispo, trying to make it in time for a concert. And my best friend, DJ, he, you may know him because he's preached here. He knew we were late. And he told me this later. He said, I put on the heavy metal songs. And that got me pumped up. And so, like, I'm going. And I was going 88 and 65, which was not good. And I got pulled over, and the cop came and said the spiel, like, do you know why I pulled you over? And I said, no. And he said, you were over the speed limit. So tonight, sorry, this morning, we're going to be talking about limits. Thank you. This morning, the title is Receiving the Gift of Limits. And another way that you could put that is receiving the limitations in our lives as a gift from God. An emotionally healthy and spiritually mature Christian receive their limitations in life as a gift and as a blessing. Now, the majority of us in here would acknowledge that limitations are a part of everyday life. If we look at the week that we've just experienced, we'll see many of these limits. If you look at your bank account, your statement, you realize that there's a limited amount of money in there, right? When you spend money, you only have so much to spend, and so there are limitations to money. Now, all of our limitations are a little different. Some of us are living pretty unlimited. We got that Capital One card, you know, swipe, swipe, swipe. Feels like unlimited cash back. But the reality is we are limited by our finances. We're also limited by our time. We only have 24 hours a day, right? 7 days in a week, 60 minutes in an hour, however you want to do it. And so we are all limited by time. We don't have unlimited time. We're limited by our energy. And the older I get, the more I learn that my energy is limited, right? And so it used to be that we could just go, go, go all day long, and now just getting to work and back is like an accomplishment for the day. Or just getting to the store, like, wow, I went grocery shopping today. I made it, I did it. And so we all are limited in our energy. We're all limited in our amount of patience. When I drive around, it's so obvious how limited we are by our patience. I was at my son's breakdancing class yesterday. Yes, he's in breakdancing at age 2 and 3 months. He spends most of his time doing this. He did learn the Zulu roll. You'll have to ask him to show you that, but he loves his dance class. And I was right outside, and there was a car that just was honking at this other car, and just like all these cars were honking, and nothing really happened. Somebody just didn't go in time. And it was amazing to me how upset people got because they were delayed by 2.3 seconds, you know? So we are limited in our patience. We're limited in the number of relationships that we can sustain. Friendship, family, romantic, we have a limitation there. We can only have so many close friends or close people that we can connect with. We can only know people so well. There are limitations. We're all limited in our academic and intellectual abilities. We all have different capacities, right? And sometimes we think, oh, wow, I'm not as smart as this person, or I'm way smarter than all these people. Whatever it is, we have limitations there. And some of us have some serious limitations in our cooking abilities. I don't want to call out, but I'm going to, Pastor Mark and Pastor Juno. Have you tasted their food? I haven't, because I don't think they cook. And so it's evident, Lord, we need a rescue there. All that to say, we all have limitations. When we look at our lives, limitations are obvious. We can only do so much, think so much, act so much. We can't do it all. We only get to do a portion. However, it seems that the world that we live in is constantly pushing the limits, and we're encouraged on a daily basis to move past these limits as if they were just obstacles in our way. And so the world sees limitations as obstacles to overcome rather than a blessing from the Lord. When we don't embrace these limits, here's what happens. When we don't see the limits of our finances, we go seriously in debt. We rack that credit card debt up. We get involved in things we shouldn't. We're making purchases that we shouldn't. We are living a life that is unsustainable beyond our means. When we don't embrace our limitations, we try to cram more into our schedules than is humanly possible. We end up stressed out because we're trying to do way too much and we're burning ourselves out. When we don't embrace our limits and our capacity, we drink coffee, we take energy shots, we take supplements, we take anything we can to give us that energy for the day because we have a limit of energy. In relationships, we often overpromise, overcommit to a relationship that maybe we're not ready for or we're not able to be there for that person. We have limitations. And a lot of times we neglect these limits and we neglect these boundaries. But at the end of the day, we have these limitations. Now, our desires may go beyond our limitations because we see them as obstacles, but we need to learn to receive these as a gift from the Lord. So this week, the topic is about embracing our limitations, implementing limitations where we need to, and breaking through some of the limitations that are not godly that we need to work on, so that we can become better Christ followers. Now, I wrestled as I prepared this message because I love just preaching through scripture. Like, if I could just get a scripture passage and just preach through it, that's what I want to do as a preacher. I felt a little touchy-feely, new age, being like, oh, the emotions and the limitations and the feelings of the positive vibes in the air are comforting my soul in this experiential place. I just felt a little up in the air on this topic. And so I had to remind myself that we're embracing and talking about emotional limitations so that we can become better Christ followers. so that we can become more healthy and sustainable in our lifestyle to be more excellent in our kingdom contributions. Does that sound good? Okay, sweet. So that's what we're talking about today. Now, when it comes to limits, I have always seen limits in a very different way than a lot of people. In fact, I don't really see limits very clearly. When I look at a fence, I actually see a diving board, a springboard, something to launch me into something new. When I see a barrier or a boundary, I actually see an opportunity for creative access. And that's always been my life. I don't see limits very well. I'm really blind to them. And that has helped me to do some big things that people go, wow, I never would have thought you could have done that. But I just didn't see the boundaries. But that's also caused some challenges for me because I've really pushed my limits time and time again. And while I've accomplished a lot of things in my life, it's come at a cost. For me in high school, I remember senior year. I was in the drum line. I was in 4 AP classes, which if you don't know, those are sort of like the advanced placement classes. I was working at a video rental store. I don't know if you all remember the days back when you had to drive your vehicle or walk to a certain store and then pay money and you got the actual video and then you had to go back home and you had to put it in. Anybody remember those days? Okay. Yeah, I worked at one of those stores way back when, yonder, right? And so I was working 20, 30 hours a week, and I directed the school play. And I was never in theater. Somehow I just showed up to the rehearsal and was like, oh, hey, can I, like, direct this thing? And they said, sure, we need one. And I said, okay, what do I do? And I just did it. And so I just remember waking up at random times my senior year to phone calls. Where are you at? You're supposed to be at work. Where are you at? You missed the rehearsal. Because I was so exhausted. I would just, like, pass out at random times of sleeping, and, like, I'd miss things, and, you know, you wake up, and it's, like, day or night, and you're not sure which day it was, because I was, as my family loves to say, burning the candle at both ends and in the middle, and just throwing it in the fire, actually. And so I was doing so much, which seemed awesome, because I had all these ambitions, but I was burning myself out. I was exhausted. Fast forward to college. I was in school. I was working at Outback Steakhouse. I was serving as a leader in Campus Crusade Ministry, and I ran my own video production company that filmed about 20 weddings a year. So I was doing a lot, and I was accomplishing a lot of things, and I have a lot of great experiences, but again, I have seen burnout and exhaustion time and time again in my life. As I think about coming to New Life 6.5 years ago, I came here, and Hartley and I were just dating. Since coming to New Life, we've gotten engaged. We've gotten married, we've had a son, we have twins on the way, we've purchased a home, we've remodeled that home, which was an incredibly ambitious project that I'm still exhausted from, and we still have work to do on. I'm currently in seminary to get my MDiv and in the commissioned pastor process with the RCA, and I've started a youth ministry from almost scratch. I've done a lot of things, which I'm really proud of, but if I'm honest, since I've started here at New Life 6 years ago, and all the stuff I've done in the last 6 years, I've gained about 60 pounds. It's true, right? Some people say, oh, that's what marriage does to you. You know, that's what kids does. That's what ministry, that's what all of life does, right? But if I'm honest, I've neglected my own personal health, and it's an expense that I've had to pay because I haven't embraced and accepted my own limitations to accomplish the things I feel compelled to do. So I'm standing before you today saying that when I took the assessment at the beginning of this book, this is the topic I scored the lowest on. This is my biggest struggle, right? And it sounds kind of cheesy to be like, I struggle with limitations, right? It doesn't sound that spiritual, but I do, right? And so I'm coming before you today as somebody who has wrestled and struggled with this topic and can really relate, and so I want to share from my personal experiences. So today, some of the things I'm facing as I'm wrestling with my limits are, I still want to grow this youth ministry way bigger than it is. We still have remodeling to do on our house. The twins are due in 2.5 months and are likely to come early, and we still have a lot of work to do. I'm currently in a seminary class studying RCA polity. I'm trying to get to my my commissioned pastor examination. Oh, and I want to be physically and more spiritually healthy. You see, we can all relate that the to-do list is never ending. It feels limitless, but we are limited people. And maybe some of you can relate to me that I just have a hard time saying no. When somebody needs help or someone needs something, I want to say yes, I want to be there. But so many yeses mean I'm saying no to my own health, my own being, my own family. Looking at the life of Jesus is incredibly comforting and helpful. And so we're going to look at Mark chapter 1 this morning to kind of see a little bit of how Jesus engaged with limitations. So Mark chapter 1, verses 29 to 39. Now we see that Jesus, he's lived for about 30 years at this point. He spent a lot of his life being a carpenter, and he's kind of been going out everyday life. We don't really know very much of his first 30 years, but at approximately age 30, he gets baptized. He goes into the wilderness for 40 days. He's tested and tempted and goes through various trials. And then he comes back and sort of begins this 3-year period of ministry, and that's what most of the Gospels focus on, all that Jesus did. So here's a passage that comes from the beginning of his ministry time. It says, "And immediately he left the synagogue and entered," as soon as they left the synagogue. Okay, I'll just read this one. "As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone's looking for you.' And Jesus replied, 'Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come.' So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." Okay. So basically what we have here is Jesus shows up, he heals a mom, she's immediately healed, no recovery time, she begins to serve them, then the whole town shows up at the door with all the sick and demon-possessed, and says, here you go, Jesus. Jesus heals many, but then it gets late. Jesus goes to sleep, and he rests, right? He has a limit, right? You would think, with all these miracles, you just got to keep going, right? But he sleeps, he rests, and then he gets up in the morning, and he goes out to pray by himself. He doesn't keep working. He goes out to rest and to pray and spend time with God the Father. And then the disciples go, "Where is he at? We got work to do." And they show up and say, "Jesus, let's go. We got some more people to heal." And he says, "Let's go to the next town." And so I'm kind of struck by a few things. Number one, the humanity of Jesus, that he needs rest, that he needs alone time. He needs quiet time to refuel and recharge and connect with God the Father. And so do we. Hey, if Jesus needs that, we need it. And Jesus sees that there is a bigger picture of work to be done in ministry from town to town to town, that he has to say no to a bunch of people who have needs knocking at his door to go and do other things. And that's kind of hard, to reject people or say no. I mean, Jesus said no to people who were in need of him, but he had other things to do. So this life of Jesus informs us and encourages us in how we are to embrace limits. One quote from the book says, "I find most of us resent limits in ourselves and in others. We expect far too much from ourselves and each other and often live frustrated, angry lives." One of the main sources of frustration in our life can be with our own limitations. We get frustrated with our lack of ability, our lack of resources, our challenges, the obstacles in our life. We also do the same thing for other people. Some of my biggest frustrations come because somebody else isn't who I want them to be or who I need them to be for me. It's not about me. It's not about us. We need to learn to love and accept who we really are and who other people are and stop growing frustrated that they are not who we want them to be or expect them to be. Now, there's a wrestle there because it's good to have expectations and hopes for other people that they would grow. But if there's a primary source of frustration there, that's something that we have to work on and come before God with. So it's important this morning that we look at our limitations and that we make some choices to set some limits. Another quote says that emotionally healthy people understand the limits God has given them, they joyfully receive them, and as a result, they're not frenzied or covetous, trying to live a life that God never intended. They're marked by contentment and joy. What that basically means is instead of looking at our lives as what we're not doing, how we're not doing good enough, how we're not doing enough, how we don't have enough, accepting where we really are, accepting what God has given us in this season, accepting the gifts, the talents, the treasures that God has given us, embracing them, and having joy and satisfaction and fulfillment rather than discontentment. So mathematically, that means that our input should equal our output. Here's what I mean. Let's say God has blessed us with a 17 as our input, okay, whatever that symbolizes. Our output should be 17. Right? Some of us, our input is 17 and our output is like 32. We're trying to do way more than we actually have coming in and we're going to get burned out. But for some of us, our input is 17 and our output is only 9. And it's sort of like we're not really stewarding the blessings that God has given us in this season of life, and we have to readdress that. So I have this list of some categories of limitations that I want us to look at this morning and to prayerfully reflect and ask the question, God, where do I need to embrace some of these limitations? Number one, personality and temperament. One example of this is maybe extroverted and introverted personalities. Some of us here are very introverted and need alone time to recharge, but are constantly putting ourselves in situations around people, getting exhausted, and then being frustrated that we're exhausted by that. Or vice versa, some of us are extroverts and need time around people. And we get frustrated with people like introverts who always need their alone time when I'm trying to hang out, right? Embracing our personality, embracing our temperament is important. Maybe the number of talents or gifts that you've been given. Maybe you have a sister-in-law that loves to throw parties, and she can throw a banging party for 40 people, and everybody has a great time, and you look at your own parties, and maybe you've got like 10 or 12 people there, and that just stresses you out, and you think, I could just never quite be like her, because she's just so good at what she does, and you're just frustrated with yourself. And it's not about who can throw the bigger or the better party. It's about stewarding what God has given you, what he's blessed you with. Or maybe you look and you go, wow, Ryan, that guy knows how to preach the word. I wish I could talk about God's word like that. Wow, I just really can't. Yes, we can all share God's word. We don't all have to be on a stage to share God's word. We all have families and friends and coworkers that God can give us opportunities to share with people that. You don't have to be the most articulate person in the world to just share about God's love and his testimony and his story in your life. We all have different degrees of gifts or talents or strengths or weaknesses. And this is about embracing those. We all have a different family and past, for better or for worse. 2 weeks ago, we talked about the genogram and how our family history affects who we are today. And this week is about embracing the limitations that have come from that and engaging with them in a healthy way. We all have different emotional capacities. Some of us, we're really high and then we're really low and then we're all the way to the left and all the way to the right and our emotions are very responsive and very engaging. And others of us, it's like, okay, I'm about here. Oh, I was there today. Okay, but now I'm back here, right? We're much more mellow and low-key. We all have different temperaments and emotional capacities. our relational status. Some of us are single, married, divorced, have kids, different family sizes, different structures of closeness. Some of us come from families where everybody stays in their room and doesn't talk. Some of us come from families where we're all in the same room way too much, right? We have all different experiences. Our home situation, the environment that we find ourselves in. Some of us have a very healthy home. Some of us have a very unhealthy home, relationally, physically, whatever it would be. Our financial situation, our intellectual capacity, and even our spiritual understanding. We're all at different places and at different levels. And this morning is about accepting our limitations as a gift from God rather than a burden. Embracing these things, not as obstacles to be overcome, but as a gift. You know, I heard a story about a pastor who would preach most every Sunday. And this pastor got sick, got really sick, and ended up losing his voice. So he could not speak, even at just a simple person-to-person conversation. It was like he could not speak very loud. And so literally, his ability to speak was his livelihood. If a pastor cannot speak, what are they doing, right? Now there's other duties that pastors do, right? Not just speak, and that's very important. But that was really challenging. And for the initial season, he thought, I'm done. I'm not a pastor anymore. This isn't going to work out. Well, his church was flexible. They were able to bring guest speakers in. And for 3 years, he couldn't speak. But eventually, he got his voice back. And while it seemed like the greatest obstacle of his life, looking back, he said that it was one of the biggest blessings because his prayer life developed so much, because that's all that he could do. So rather than looking at his situation as a burden or an obstacle, he embraced the limitation that was placed on him and sought God for how that season of life could be a blessing. In fact, seasons can be a limitation for all of us. My wife right now is in a season of cooking twins, right? She's not able to be as physically active as she has been in the past because she has a giant belly. Well, not too giant, baby. It's a cute, little, small, sweet, large belly there. And we all have wrestled with limitations that have become seasonal. Maybe some of us are recovering from some serious health issues or are physically not able to be what we once were or have had a job change or transition or have some personality challenges that have recently come into play. Or we're in a whole new environment. Limitations can be seasonal. They don't have to be for our whole life. And the sooner we can embrace our limitations in that season and move forward and accept them as a gift, the better. Embracing our limitations prevents burnout, because burnout is a result of giving more than we have to give. And for me, I have a lot of experience in being overcommitted, saying yes to so many people. So one of the big things for this morning is embracing our limitations. The next thing I want to talk about is the importance of implementing limitations. And very briefly, I want to say this. For some of us, we don't have very good financial limitations. We sort of spend beyond our means, and we need to learn to implement limitations. For some of us, we have some unhealthy relationships in our life. And we need to set boundaries. We need to set limitations there. As we look at the category of all the things that I've gone through, for some of us, we need to implement limitations where there are not. If you know that being around too many people too much burns you out, then take some more alone time. If you know that you're over-serving in a church capacity, then set some limitations and guidelines so we're not burning out. Right? For some of us, our challenge is not embracing limitations. It's that we don't know how to set our own limitations because we're capable of doing a lot, but we're burning ourselves out. Now, I'm going to be honest, which I always am, but that's just like a phrase that people say, you know, to be honest. As I try to live this out, there is a genuine struggle. And so I'm sharing with you this morning not this new idea that I've never tried, but something I've spent the last decade working on. And these are some of the challenges that I've faced as I've tried to embrace my own limitations, set limitations. I've wrestled with jealousy. I look at pictures online and I see what people are doing and I think, I'm missing out. Why am I not there? I wish I was at that event. Ooh, I heard that was awesome. When I have to say no to things, I wrestle with jealousy. I don't have that accomplishment. I wasn't able to go to that. And that's a hard thing. As we set limitations, we will wrestle with jealousy. I've wrestled with inadequacy. If only I was smarter, stronger, faster, better, cooler, wealthier, I could be, fill in the blank. I've wrestled with inadequacy, feeling not good enough. And I've had to watch needs go unmet. I can't help everyone all the time for everything. And that's not saying that I'm now saying I'm never going to help anybody else. But there is a time where I say yes to so many people who have needs that there's nothing left for me. There's nothing left for my family. There's nothing left for my youth ministry or whatever it would be. So we've talked about embracing limits. We've talked about implementing limits. But for some of us, limits we're very aware of. In fact, we're too aware of. In fact, we're so aware of our limitations that we've become paralyzed to really doing very much. There's a quote by Edmund Burke that says, "Nobody made a greater mistake than he who did nothing because he could only do little. And sometimes we look at a problem in the world or in our community and we think, that's just too big. I'm overwhelmed by that. I can't even grasp all that's going on. And we become paralyzed and we don't move into action. We're unable to make a difference because we can't insert ourselves, because we are overwhelmed by our boundaries and our limitations. So for some of us this morning, I really think that God is calling us to bring our limitations from the clouds down to the life size that they are, to not overextend them, but to just accept them where they are, and to know that we're not meant to fix everything in the world, but we can play our part. And if everybody helped one person, then everybody would be helped. We get a small piece of the pie to play. You might not be able to solve homelessness, but you might be able to buy someone lunch. You might be able to sit down and pray with them or just talk to them and hear their story for 5 minutes outside of the grocery store. Little actions matter. Don't be paralyzed by your limitations. Now, it's important, too, that we don't lose our passion, our drive, our conviction in life. I desperately do not want us to hear this morning, stop striving, stop going for goals, stop reaching your dreams, just don't even feel anything beyond your own abilities. No, not at all. I want us to be a church that carries strong convictions, has great dreams and ambitions. But what I'm asking for us to do this morning is to embrace the limitations and our ability to see those out. Because when we walk in a healthier lifestyle, we're better able to accomplish those achievements, ambitions, and dreams. The last thing I want to talk about this morning is how limitations can become an excuse. Now, when it comes to sinful behaviors or character flaws, I don't want us to use limitations as an excuse. Well, Ryan, I just kind of get impatient really, really easily. That's just my limit, you know? That's just my limit, and I just have to accept that, right? And there's a degree of truth that we need to accept our limitations, but there are limitations that God is calling us to move past. Or, you know, Ryan, I've just never really been good at working with students, and so the youth ministry is not my thing. Maybe God is calling you to show up on a Wednesday night and give it a shot, right? We can use this whole message on limitations as an excuse to not break through some of the things that God is doing. In fact, some of the greatest things I've done in my life started out with, oh, I can't do that. No way. When I was invited to go to South Africa on a missions trip, I thought, oh, maybe later on. And I ended up going, and it was a life-changing experience. When my friends started talking about a trip to Europe, I was like, wow, I don't know about that. Right? Some of the greatest things I've done have started out with, I don't think so. But in many ways, God is calling us to move past our limitations, to not be imprisoned by them. And here's the tricky thing this morning. I don't have like this formula for all of us to know what limits we need to embrace, what limits we need to implement, and what limits we need to break past. That takes prayer, time in the Word, godly counsel and wisdom from those around you who you trust. Some limitations are going to change with seasons. In one season, You might have to embrace something as a limitation, but in the next season, it might be something that God is actually calling you to break through. So pray, discern what wisdom God has for you. So this morning, I think we're all in different places, as I've stated in the beginning. You could be feeling a lot of different things. My hope is that we would leave this morning with some clarity of some limits that we need to accept and embrace as a gift, so that we can live healthier lives and be better Christ followers. So some of our responses this morning might be looking at our life and saying, I need to be more intentional about rest and about Sabbath and about taking time. Wow, Jesus took time to pray. Wow, God cares about rest so much that it's actually one of the Ten Commandments that you would keep holy and set apart the Sabbath day for resting. Do not work. I was blown away when we went to Austria and we went to the store on a Sunday and it was closed. And I was like, what? How can things be closed? And most everything was shut down in the city that we went to, except Cafe Americano. Because Americans are open 7 days a week, right? We're all doing a lot, and most of us are pretty bad at rest. Maybe some of us are responding this morning by saying, I just need to say no more. I'm too much of a yes person, and I need to say no. My hope is that some of us are ending our constant guilt and shame for not being something that we think we're supposed to be. That some of us would be freed this morning from the comparison game, or I'm not as good as, and I could never do, and I could never be, and always feeling not good enough. I'm hoping that some of us are regaining joy and satisfaction in what we do have. That maybe some of us are having to let go of some ambitious goals that have just been costing us too much. They've been costing us personally. They've been costing our family too much. And no matter how great they are, we've just had to accept that maybe we should slow down and change our priorities. I'm hoping that some of us implement limits that don't exist, and that some of us are empowered by our limitations rather than paralyzed. And that some of us embrace the season that we have as a gift from the Lord rather than a burden to bear. When we change that mindset, when we change that attitude, it helps us to be more emotionally mature and to receive Christ in our lives. So let me pray for us this morning. Father God, we thank you so much that you care about us. That in your Psalms it says God gives rest to his people. That you command Sabbath, that you care about our well-being. God, for those of us who are just burnt out and overloaded, God, give us rest and help us to set limitations and learn how to say no. For those of us who just feel paralyzed because we see everything that's wrong in the world and everything that's broken and all the things that we cannot do, God, would you bring freedom and comfort this morning? God, as we wrestle through, okay, what am I supposed to embrace? What am I supposed to implement? And what am I supposed to break through? I pray for strong spiritual prayer lives, even this week, that God, you would give discernment and wisdom to all of us. God, motivation and drive to want to see change, to know what we need to embrace, Lord, what we need to implement, what we need to break through. Some of us this morning have been limited by some things for far too long, and we know that we need to break through those things with your power and your strength alone, God, so give that to us. Some of us are struggling in a season of life that is just really difficult right now. God, help us to embrace where we are at and to engage with you. Holy Spirit, have your way in our lives now, today, this week, and always, God. We're so grateful for your love for us. That you never give up on us, Lord, and that you love us so, so much. We just give you all the glory, and all God's people said, amen. So this morning for our response time, you have some options. You can sit in your seats, you can sing, you can stand. We have the communion station where you can come and just recognize that Christ died for you to be forgiven and made whole, that all that we can accomplish is through his grace. We have the prayer team in the back. If you just need someone to just pray for you, to just reach some things out up to God for you, they're going to be over there. We have our candle stations in the front and the back. If you just need to pray for someone and you just want to light a candle sort of as that symbol, then go for it. We also have our cross in the back. If you want to just go and bring something, maybe it's a confession or something you just need to hand over to God, you're welcome to do that. And we've also this Sunday placed in the seat backs a little piece of paper that says something about what limitations is God highlighting in your life. And if you'd like to, I encourage you to take that piece of paper, take the little pencil with it, and then just write some things down that maybe God is putting on your mind, on your heart. And take that home with you. Put it in your Bible. Put it in your journal. Put it in your car. Put it next to your bed. Wherever you need to, as a reminder for this week of what God wants to do. Because we forget so easily the things that He has stirred in us. Now at this time, we're going to have our ushers come forward. And they're going to accept as our worship this morning our tithes and our